Hello and welcome to the Draft Talk podcast, brought to you by your friends of mine, 99 Yards. We're back and we're continuing our look towards next year's NFL Draft. I'm joined by the full Draft Talk team, Owen, MJ and Stu. Boys, how are we all doing?
Good, thanks Brian. Really good to be back on the pod, and it's a great time of year, isn't it, to check in on some of these prospects for 2022.
Yeah, it's good to have the team back together again. It's been a wee while since we've all been together. We've been doing bits and pieces here and there, but nice to be speaking with a whole lot of us. And yeah, interesting to see what everyone's thoughts are as we're now approximately a third of the way through the season.
Yeah, glad to have us all back together. And yeah, this is going to be interesting. So let's get going.
Absolutely. The band is back together, as they say. And I can hear you listeners thinking, wow, they're already looking towards next year's draft. It's only October, miles away. But you're right. But let me tell you, as we record this, we're doing it on the Thursday night. As we speak, we're exactly 6 months and 1 week away from the 2022 NFL draft in Las Vegas. Would you believe it? We're almost halfway there. Crazy. It only seems like we were doing this year's draft a couple of weeks ago. But here we are. It's creeping up on us. So let's dive right into it. We're 8 weeks into the college football season. And this week, we're focusing on the offense, looking at a few prospects, who's doing well, who's doing not so well. Let's start, as we like to, with kind of the most important position. Let's start with quarterbacks. Guys, who's having a good year, who's not, who's going to have a good draft? Tell us all about it.
I can see I don't think any of us want to jump in here because it's so difficult to work out. I don't have an answer for you, and I'm pretty sure in 6 months and a week I still won't have an answer for you, because this could go anyway. It's not like last year at all, where we had five really top quality quarterbacks who all could have been a number one overall pick at some point if it wasn't for Trevor Lawrence. I don't think we have a player like that this time. I think if you were to put rankings together, I'm not sure you're going to have a quarterback even in the top 10 in terms of positional rankings, but one of these guys, or a couple of these guys at least, are going to go there. Which ones? I absolutely do not have any idea whatsoever. And if you do, you're lying.
Yeah, I would have to agree on that. I think as we get on with the season, when it comes round to the top fives as we head towards the draft, that could be a bit of carnage. I think I agree. Last year, quarterback was fairly easy. We all knew who we were all going to have in the top five. A couple of orders that were a bit tricky, but this year we might not even have any of the same five. It could be that wild. So I think that it's going to be a real difficult one to call. There's still a good bit of the season left. If somebody puts together a good run, and possibly looking at college playoffs and things as well, if they do well there, they could be the guy who rises up, because we know there's going to be quarterbacks taken early. It's just what happens. But I don't know, is there anyone who's particularly catching your eye or thinks doing themselves good rather than bad?
Well, I was just going to jump in there, Stu, and say that yeah, I agree with what both of you have said about it. It's such a mixed up class this year. In each of the last seven drafts, at least two quarterbacks have gone in the top 10 positions in round one. And from what we've witnessed so far this season, it would be difficult to pick out 100% whether you were going to get two in the top 10, or even whether you were going to get two in the entire first round. But I think the quality and the value of that position means we probably will get some inflation there, and we will get quarterbacks going first round, and we probably will get at least one going top 10. But it's funny, isn't it? We started the season with Sam Howell and Spencer Rattler kind of being mooted as the top two. You know, Rattler's now been benched. Sam Howell, without those pieces around him that got drafted into the NFL last season, he's been a bit up and down. Malik Willis started the season well, but again, the last two games, he's thrown six interceptions. And the other one that I think is an absolute fairy tale, who'd have thought that this far into the season we'd be talking about Kenny Pickett? And there's a lot of chatter about Kenny Pickett. who is probably the most experienced college quarterback around, and he's having a great season, and has really come on and really eradicated some of those problems that he's had at Pittsburgh. But has he really come up against anybody? I think this is the thing: is they're all playing for, you know, they're playing for teams like Cincinnati. You've got Ridder at Cincinnati. Well, the defense is doing an awful lot there, and the run game, and there's not a lot on his shoulders. You've got Carson Strong at Nevada. You know, it's teams who the teams that they're playing against, they're not always getting that kind of high quality caliber defense. Pickett's up against Clemson this week. That might be the first time he's had horrible games against Clemson in the past. So I'd say out of all of them, I'd still go Malik Willis is probably the front runner. And then you've got Matt Corral and Ole Miss and Carson Strong at Nevada. But it's such a mixed-up class. It's hard to tell. And I think the next 6 or 7 weeks might start to, when the games really get important and we get towards bowl season, I think we might start to see, you know, a couple come out of that pack.
Yeah, there's plenty of names there, and we're going to have more than enough time to dig into them as we roll on. Kenny Pickett, I am not on the bandwagon, I'll be honest. I think a lot of people are jumping on there. His hands are 8 1/4 inch. He has to wear 2 sets of gloves to be able to grip a college football. NFL footballs are a little bit bigger, if you didn't know. So he's going to really struggle, especially combine time, if he decides to turn up and he gets hand measurement of 8 1/4, that isn't going to do himself any good. So he is absolutely no doubt that he has risen up draft boards. He's probably borderline undraftable in the summer. We're maybe looking early day 3 at best for him right now, but you know, he's in himself some decent money just by doing that. But the top of the class, it is very difficult to see. Maybe one, it could possibly be 2 that go in the top 10, but it'd be very difficult to pick which ones. I think the value is going to be if you're picking in the 20s and you've got an aging quarterback, or you're not quite sure, you could maybe find some decent value picking up a quarterback later on in the first round who goes to a decent situation and ends up being the best one. I can see something like that happening this year.
Yeah, just a quarterback I'm going to bring. I don't think he's going to be the top guy, but I think he's done himself no favours. Don't know if he's even going to come out this year, but Grayson McCall, the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers, which is a great name. I love the Chanticleers. I think he's done himself a world of good this year. Sophomore, yeah, runs a kind of spread offense. Really, they're a really fun watch. If they're not on your college radar, as a big teams, a lot of people watch. They give Coastal Carolina a watch. They're really fun to watch. He's an accurate quarterback. He plays all levels of the field. He's a bit of a risk taker at times, but he's gritty. He moves around the pocket quite well. He can extend plays. Currently at the present, he's got this is looking at the stats before the game last night. He had the leads the nation in pass completions, yards per attempt, and quarterback rating. When you look at the teams they have played, it's not a household name. So, I mean, you look at Citadel, Kansas, Buffalo, LA, Monroe, not household names he's playing against. But if you throw the names of James Madison, South Dakota, SC State, Delaware, that's who Trey Lance was playing against, and he was picked 3rd overall. So, you know, you can't always hold record of who they're playing against teams. And as I say, he's maybe not going to be the top guy, but he's someone who's certainly done himself a lot of good this year if he decides to come out.
Yeah, you have to pair that as well with last year, where they beat a very good BYU team led by Zach Wilson. So you do have to put it all together. They did lose against App State, which isn't great. But, you know, he's only one player in a team that's full of draftable players. So I totally agree. I don't think he does come out this year. If I'm being honest, I don't think he does. But if he did, he certainly adds an intriguing name into the mold.
And I think if he's somebody who's thinking about coming out this year, might be a better year to do it.
Yeah,
you know, he's going to have a higher draft stock comparable to the guys that are coming out. Maybe if you're looking at the guys coming out over the next couple of years, there seems to be that upturn in quality again. So if he's looking for as high a pick as he can get, this year might be the year to do it for him.
Yeah. Do any of us want to touch on Spencer Rattler while we're here? Do you think there's anyone really want to get into that?
is this first one in the bin?
What a fall
from grace that is so far. He's got a couple of months, hasn't he, to get his draft stock back up again. Because there were concerns going into the season, and it's falling apart a little bit for him, isn't it? Can you see any light at the end of the tunnel for him this year?
I think right now you have to take Rattler out of this quarterback picture. Just hasn't happened for him for whatever reason. I think it certainly looks like he may end up entering the transfer portal, which could make things very interesting, see where he ends up. I don't think he'll end up with a contender if he does do that. I'm thinking maybe a Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, Notre Dame, someone like that. I just don't think his mentality and ego, which has clearly got the better of him at times, fits into what they try to do. There's no doubt that he's got the tools to, you know, to be whatever he wants to be. I think most had him ranked as the best quarterback in this class in the summer. But, you know, maybe this brings him down to earth and realise that he needs to get his act together. But there's absolutely no doubt that if he does go back and transfers and he declares next year, he will again be one of the top guys.
Yeah, I can't remember a time when in the summer we've had a guy who's been on the way too early mocks being mocked as a top quarterback to come off the board, yeah, who, not even halfway through the college season, is not even playing back, has been benched.
Mm-hmm.
You often see the reverse of these guys who you don't really think about rising up the way, but somebody falls most particularly. I can't really remember it happening. It's really bizarre what's going on there. And I think he would probably be wise to not come out this year. I think he'd be wise to enter the portal, get himself another year, maybe just a change of scenery, different people around him, different coaching. It might be the kick up the backside that he needs. Yeah. He's got talent, no doubt about it. It's just putting everything together that's maybe been a bit difficult for him.
Yeah, he's had a hell of a fall from grace this year, and watched a bit of film on him this year. I can totally see why he's been benched, but then you see what he's done in the past, and yeah, you're right, Owen. He's got all the skills, he's got everything you need. But for me, I watched it maybe 2 or 3 months ago, but he was on the QB1, which is on Netflix, or was on Netflix. And he just wound me up on there. I think you're right, his attitude kind of stinks. He's a bit too cocky, he's a bit too full of himself. You like your quarterbacks to be leaders and to be team first, and he didn't really strike me as that. And like you say, maybe that's what's happened here, and he's going to struggle. So
everywhere he's been the man. Now, this is probably the first time in his football playing career that he hasn't been the man, so it's going to be really interesting how he can cope with it.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens with him. But yeah, ever since watching that, whenever someone mentions him, whether he's doing good or bad, I've sort of been like, oh, don't really like him, you know. But yeah, anyone else we want to touch on here, guys? Well, go on, I'll stick my neck out and I'll talk about one of the rare scouting reports I've done this year, and that's Carson Strong from Nevada, or should we call him Carson Strong Arm? He's got a great arm. He can lob it really far. He's incredibly accurate. I really like him. The big knock on him is that he plays for a quote unquote small school, so the competition isn't really there, and he's not particularly mobile at all. But if you're looking for a sort of classic, let's say Eli Manning when he was good. There you go, MJ. That'll you'll like that.
Oh, we're going back to
really classic sort of big pocket, accurate pocket passer, which aren't very popular these days. Everyone wants a bit of movement and a bit of play action, all this sort of stuff. But if you're looking for that, he's your guy, and I've no idea where he'll go in the draft. But I really like him. And if you want to learn how to throw the ball or teach someone how to throw the ball, watch him, because his technique is... he's brilliant. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, someone will take a chance on him. He could be first round. He could be fourth round. I don't know. But he's certainly one to keep an eye out on.
He could be one of those players that I was talking about that goes late 20s, that ends up in a really good situation and ends up to the best quarterback here. We're on about his mobility. I think it's just out of structure. He just hasn't got the athleticism outside. But I quite like his mobility in the pocket. I think, you know, he can make oncoming defenders miss if he needs to. It's just outside of the pocket, he doesn't necessarily have that playmaking ability, which is absolutely fine. He's just not that type of guy. But someone's, you know, if you can throw the ball like that 60-70 yards, then someone is gonna bang the drum for you. He reminds me a bit of Josh Allen coming out, because he, you know, not comparing to him now, but coming out of college, Josh Allen wasn't particularly mobile. He didn't particularly show that while he was in college. Came from the Mountain West as well. Similar type of accuracy, big arm. So he could have that type of rise in the draft, or the thought. I don't think he's, you know, he's not going to develop into that runner that Josh Allen has. But as a pocket passer, he does remind me a lot of what Josh Allen was like when he was coming out. That isn't a comp.
Sounded a lot like one. Well, there we go. Some quarterbacks to look for, some rising up the draft board, some tumbling down, potentially out of the draft. But yeah, guys, so it's only one position. Where else in the offense? Who else do we like? Who else is having a good year? Who else is having a bad year? Let's talk about that.
Okay. I'll kick us off, see where we end up with this. It'd be interesting to hear people's thoughts on various positions. I'm going to start probably, unsurprisingly, with offensive line. One player for me that's really stood out this year and is making a name for himself, and I think is going to do really well come draft time if he continues, is Nicolas Petitfrère, or in Little Brother in French as it is, from the Ohio State. He's a tackle. He's played on both sides of the line. Big, good size for a tackle, 6'5", just a bit over the 300 pounds. He was a number one tackle when he came out of high school in the recruiting cycle. He's just done really, really well this year. He's a guy, he moves very well for a guy his size. He's got a good center of gravity, strong anchor. He's quite quick with his feet, particularly in his pass sets. He can maneuver himself around quite well. Good hand technique, which is for a young guy in the college game, his hands look really fast. He's a bit of a mauler in the run game as well, so he's got a bit of both sides to him. The Buckeyes have been one of the best blocking O-lines in football this year, and I think he's a big part of that. And for me, probably behind Evan Neal, he's probably the next best tackle that I've seen so far. Probably O-line's thinking that's a bit of a hot take on that one, but for me, he's probably
a very, very hot take.
Yeah, for me, he really is. I think he's that good, and I think he's going to be drafted that well as well. So he's a player that I'm really happy with, and I think that I think a lot of NFL teams will like him as well. And we've got stunned silence.
Yeah, I don't really know what to say to that. Not that I disagree with you, because I haven't done a great deal of digging on him. He wasn't particularly on my list in the summer. But he's a guy that a lot of people like. To go bold like that is you stuck your neck on the line there. I'll say that. There was a lot of guys there that I like also, like Charles Cross. I think he's done himself pretty well this season so far as well. Jackson Kirkland was there. He's dropped maybe a little bit, but he's still in the discussion. A bit of discussion about Sean Ryan as well, whether he could potentially slot in a guard. But again, he's someone that's risen, and one of the names which he's probably going to be compared to is Darian Kennard at Kentucky. Because again, he is someone who's performed very well this season at tackle, but may struggle with the arm length when he gets to measuring at the combine, and may again end up slotting into guard. He's performed very well this season. He's definitely one to continue to watch, and yeah, there's no reason why if he continues to play the way he has that he can get up there. But I'm not sure I'm ready to stick on my neck on the line that you just have there.
Yeah, I mean, you've talked about a lot of those guys who do you see projected as being guards, and you mentioned Jackson Kirkland. I'm probably going to speak about him later, and one of the guys for me who's maybe fallen off a little bit, so we'll maybe touch upon him later. But yeah, I'm maybe a bit higher than some on Petitfrère, but yeah, I really like him. I think he's going to be a good tackle at the next level.
I just like the idea of a guy who's 315 pounds who's called Little Brother. That sounds brilliant. I haven't got to the guys in the trenches at the moment. I've gone with the skill positions, but I know that Stu is a bit of an expert at these guys, so I will now go away and have a look at this guy.
You should see his big brother. Wow.
That's why we need you back hosting, Brian, for that expert quips in there.
Yeah, we'll just tee him up. You just knock him away.
That, and I'm noting down all your big takes. So we've got best O-lineman, cast as strong as Josh Allen. Ready to bring up later.
No.
Right, so guys, hit us with another prospect who's someone who's doing great, or I guess on the reverse, someone who's not doing very good this year.
I'll jump in here. So I went to like MJ, I've spent a lot of time on the skill positions, and there's someone that's really stood out to me, and that's Jameson Williams, the wide receiver for Alabama. He was a really weird one in the summer. So he decided to transfer from Ohio State to Alabama in the summer. He clearly saw they had Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson ahead of him and thought, oh, there's nothing for me here, I'll go elsewhere. And, you know, if you want to go elsewhere, then why not Alabama? It's, you know, is that you don't often see players like that transferring into Alabama. You know, they normally try and go somewhere where they're guaranteed catches, and you're definitely not at Alabama with all the athletes that they have. We should have maybe known in the summer when he got accepted into Alabama that he was going to be decent, but maybe we overlooked that. I think we may be looking at a first round player here for someone who wasn't spoken about at all in the summer, potentially a first round player. I think second round is probably his floor. He's averaging 20 yards per catch. He's got 6 touchdowns on the year. All qualities he has, speed, route running, he has those things that will separate him at the next level. In the summer, everyone was talking about John Metchie as being the weapon at Alabama. But what was it that separated him from everyone else? And when he gets to the next level, what was it that was going to make him be different? Now, Jameson Williams has that just with his pure speed. He's so quick that, you know, he's just going to make defenders miss everywhere. He had a 75-yard touchdown last weekend, and he just has game-breaking speed. You know, there's 5 defensive backs back there, and a lot of them cannot get anywhere near him. You know, he catches the ball maybe, I don't know, 25, 30 yards downfield, and he just takes it to the house. And, you know, going back to what I was saying with John Metchie as a prospect, you know, you've got to bank on those elite traits, I like to think, at the skill positions. And he definitely has one of those elite traits. And I think he'll go really high come the summer. It's more of one of those pick your poison, because if you can beat me with speed, I'll beat you with something else.
Yeah, he looks like that move has really worked out for him, doesn't it? Looking at the, as you say, it was all about the opportunity he was or wasn't going to get at Ohio State, where he's probably going to be number 3. And he's moved across. And as you say, the numbers, the consistency is good. He's got a couple of long touchdowns there. As you said, he's got the 75. I think he had an 81 earlier in the season as well. And that move has probably moved him up draft boards. And as you say, he's now looking, as you say, I think there are a number of receivers. Again, it's a decent class at the top of the receiver class. And you'll be looking at first day or early second day for a number of these guys. I've also got a receiver that I was going with, if you want to move on to that. So for me, obviously there are a number of qualities around receivers, and I've looked at a few of these now. And there are a number of things, you know, speed and route running and separation and all the rest of it. But at the end of the day, you've got to catch it. And I think that Drake London at USC, I mean, he is the best receiver I've seen in quite a while at the contested catch. At that high point, his leap when, you know, quarterbacks, he is obviously, what's his name, Keenan Slovis's best friend, because yeah. Slovis just chucks it up in the air as high as he can. And Drake London comes down with it. His stats have been amazing this year. He's over 100 yards virtually every game. He's on for Devonta Smith-type production. In terms of all of the stats, he's right up there through 6 games. I think he's the second in yards per game. He leads in yards after catching on gaining first downs and so on. And I just think he will transition to the NFL really well. and contested catch situations. Yeah, if Brian, if you want to write down another comparison, I'm going with Mike Evans here for Drake London. And I think he will, not only will he obviously come down with a lot of catches, I think he'll draw a lot of defensive pass interference because he will just be up there and they will be mauling at him to try and get that ball and they won't stand much of a chance. So, yeah, I'd say Drake London has done himself the world of good so far this season.
Yeah, he was my other guy on my list when I've looked at that. And what I liked about Drake London this year is, particularly last season, he played a lot in the slot and he relied a lot on the contested catch. Whereas this year, he's lined up on the outside. And he's also shown that he's more than capable with yards after catch as well, which is important with the way that a lot of teams are playing now as well. So he's shown that he's got that to his game as well as just being a big guy that you can throw up to in the red zone and catch it. He does have other facets to his game, which he's really shown this year. And yeah, I think the fact that he's got that other stuff now has definitely bumped him up the draft boards.
Oh, there's absolutely no question about that, that he's risen phenomenally this year. Over the summer, I was not a fan at all. I watched a fair few wide receivers, him being one of them, and I just didn't get it. I will be completely honest. As you just said this, you operated a lot from the slot, just relied on his body to go up and get the ball. You can tell he was a basketball player as well for USC, and you can tell he's got that ability to just go up and get the ball. Going back to what I was saying about Jameson Williams and what I worry about Drake London is, does he have that calling card? Does he have that it that separates him from others in the draft? And then what separates him from other corners when he gets to the NFL? That's what I worried about in the summer. I'm not so worried now. I'm maybe not all in as you guys are. I'm still not on that bandwagon. I still certainly have reservations about where he can get to, but there's absolutely no doubt that, you know, he is in the round one discussion now. Moving on from just what was a purely contested catch guy, you know, he was lean, he was lanky, he wasn't overly quick, just relied on his success from the slot and over the middle. And the fact, you know, that he's been able to turn that into being able to go onto the outside, he's now showing versatility. If he can continue that on, there's absolutely no doubt he'll be a round one guy.
He's a guy that if I was pinning him down, I would say he's a really good number two.
Yeah, exactly.
Receiver.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, if you've got your number one guy and you're looking for someone to complement that, Drake London would be an excellent pickup.
Yeah.
For a team, I'm not sure I would hang my hat on him being the guy, but the best friend of the guy, I think, is a great role for him. And I think that there'd be a lot of teams who'd quite happily snap that up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he'll.
Sorry, MJ.
Sorry, I was just going to say he'll have that red zone, outlet when 20 yards to go, heading into the corners, into the back of the end zone. He'll be able to still pull it down. So, yeah, I'd agree with you on that one. He's a very good complementary kind of number two, probably. Just nipping back, seeing as we've already spoken about this team once, going back to Coastal Carolina and this podcast's affinity with tight ends and last season trying to find that position exciting once you got past Kyle Pitts. This season, Coastal Carolina, the wonderfully named Isaiah Likely, who, again, I think he's probably in that Kyle Pitts mode. I think he's probably more of a big-bodied receiver than he is traditional sort of tight end. But I, having watched some of the footage, he's got some outrageous ability in terms of catching the ball. Again, you've got that thing of, okay, who's he playing against? Is the competition there? But just his numbers in terms of average yards per catch and his ability to go down the field, he's got a 99 yard touchdown, apt for our podcast, and 80 yards of that was him running away from the secondary. He's got another 64 where he's running about 50 yards away from people. And he's had good production all the way through his college career. And he's fast, as I say, he can go vertically. He is probably, as I say, he's more of that big body receiver than he is tight end. But I think he's an exciting prospect and one that when we get round to next spring and we're picking up on the tight end position, I think we'll be talking about him.
certainly with a name like that and scoring a 99-yard touchdown, we're definitely setting him up for Brian. Now his eyes are lighting up with that guy. He's going to be on his favourites list, I'm sure, as time goes by.
Yep, good names and unique stuff. That's my thing.
Yeah, I really like Isaiah Likely as well. He, I think, at the moment would be my tight end 3. Now, I also had a tight end on my list, and that was my tight end 2. And that's currently Trey McBride, who's the tight end for Colorado State. Absolutely exceptional pass catcher. He should and maybe or could and maybe should have come out last year, decided for whatever reason to return to college. He's just a tight end who can do a bit of everything. He's, you know, size, strength, power, smooth route running, you know, clean, strong hands. There really isn't much not to like there about him. He's a bruiser when he's blocking. And when he's in one-on-one, you know, he's just going to run you over. And when, you know, he's being used as a receiver, you know, he's just silky smooth as a runner. And those that just catches everything. Yards after the catchability as well. Say lovely soft hands when you get him in space. He's just going to gain you yards after the catch with ease. He's just going to bully defenders, whether they're linemen or whether they're defensive backs. And he's someone that has risen a lot for me.
And just another one for me. It's not a position that I'm always overly fussed about for drafts, and that's running backs, unless we've got somebody special, you know. But a guy I just think has been really good is Kenneth Walker.
Yeah, have to speak about him.
Yeah, 3 yards shy of 1,000 yards already on the ground on 152 rushing attempts, 9 touchdowns. The guy has looked really good. He's somebody that I think that can find a role in the NFL. He's not going to be your lead back, I don't think. I don't think he's going to be a 3-down back by any stretch. He'd certainly have to work on some pass protection, I think, if that was going to be his thing. But yeah, I mean, somebody who's racked up that amount of yardage already at this stage in the season, he's got to be just catching the eye of some people who are looking in the rounds to get somebody in the backfield just to add something a little bit different. So I think he was certainly worth a mention at this juncture.
No, definitely. He's the definition of a rise. You know, I think when you're talking about risers and fallers, it can be a bit subjective at times because it depends on how you viewed them before the season and you know, whether they're riser or fallers. You know, going back to Isaiah Likely there, had him at 4 preseason, going up to 3. There's not a lot of difference there. Whereas just to put into perspective what Kenneth Walker's rise has been like, I watched 20 running backs in the summer and he wasn't even on my list to get to. So he's literally come from nowhere. He's maybe one of the reasons why Michigan State is currently undefeated. One stat I think always translates well for running backs is broken tackles. And we had a guy last draft cycle, Javonte Williams. He led the nation in broken tackles. And he has transitioned really well playing for the Broncos in the NFL. Kenneth Walker, on 150 attempts, has broken 60 or just over 60 tackles. So that should be a stat which will translate over to the NFL for him. You know, he's not going to offer you much in the passing game, but as a runner and a tackle breaker, showing physicality, he will 100% get a role in the NFL.
So who do we think has not done so well? We've talked about a lot of guys that have gone up the way and we've been really happy with. Who does anyone else think has not been that good?
Go on, I was going to say, I'll kick off because we've talked a lot about tight ends there. And I did want to mention a tight end, which is Jaleel Billingsley, the tight end for Alabama, who I was extremely high on in the summer, was tight end 1. I don't know if he's necessarily a faller, but he's definitely a guy who's disappointed to date. You know, I was all in on him being tight end 1 in the summer, and I think I still am on that train. But, you know, whether that maybe goes over to 2023 now, I'm not so sure. There was clearly some things happening in the summer which we weren't aware of. He's had some falling out with Nick Saban. He wasn't trusted very much early on, which has led to him not being as productive as we expected him to be. But, you know, his role has gradually grown. But whether it can grow enough by the time we get to the combine or by the time we get to April, I'm not so sure. You know, he was hardly used in his career. I think he had 18 catches, if I remember rightly, when we were looking in the summer. He'd only had 18 catches. And he was a guy with all the talent that left Alabama last draft cycle, could really step up and be a weapon for Bryce Young and that Alabama offense. It just clearly hasn't happened, but he still, you know, you still can't dispute his size and his athletic traits, his speed, yards after catch ability. He's just going to be an absolute mismatch both at college and when he gets to the NFL. So I think NFL teams are just waiting for this guy to explode. And when he does, we'll also be speaking about him again. He has had some drops, especially in that loss against Alabama. It was possibly one of his worst games. You know, he dropped two passes where if he caught them, they probably win the game, which, you know, it isn't great for him and certainly won't get him in the good books of Nick Saban. But all it takes, you know, as we get towards playoffs, Alabama currently aren't ranked as a playoff team, but come on, Alabama will end up there somehow. And, you know, all it takes is one big playoff game. And this guy's, we were speaking about him being as the number one tight end again. So I'm not particularly worried, but you're certainly disappointed.
Yeah, and I wonder how much of that is as well. Obviously, he's had his issues with Saban down in Alabama. But the Alabama don't always make the best use of tight ends, particularly in the passing game. You know, we've seen over the years they've had such talented receivers, and they've had good guys out of the backfield as well. And I wonder if it's just that they don't see the tight end in a pass catcher role, which he is probably going to be his best asset as a tight end, not necessarily as a guy in the blocking, pass blocking, or in the run game. And I wonder if that's maybe just impacted on what we see of him production wise.
Yeah, I've got one that it's probably not his fault quite so much, but his draft stock probably has fallen a little bit, and it's back on running backs again, and it's Kyren Williams at Notre Dame. Now, last year, he ran for over 1,000 yards, and he was over 5 yards per carry, and obviously, they as a team, they had a really good year. And what he's had to put up with is they lost four players to the NFL from the offensive line. Obviously, Ian Book went as well, and they've been rebuilding. And it's been clear that their offense has not been as good as it was last year. And they've had their struggles, even though their record is reasonably decent. And he's at a point now where his average yards per carry, he's now down below four. They've got about six games left where they do play some of the poorer defenses. And I think, you know, this is kind of a point in the season for him where he now needs to go on a roll, and they need to go on a roll as a team of being more imposing on offense, more imposing in the run game, to try and get him to kind of hit peak form as he goes towards the end of the season, if he's going to be back in that conversation for one of the better running backs that are coming out this year. As I say, I don't think it's all on him, because you can only run through the gaps that are there for you. But he will have been hoping to have had a better season than he's had so far.
Yeah, as you said, it comes down to context at times, doesn't it? You know, you can look at the box score all you want, but unless you understand the situation that guys are in, it can be difficult to just analyse them on that. I think at times, you know, the offensive line at Notre Dame has been so bad that he's been almost playing as an extra offensive lineman at times, because his pass blocking is so good. I think he's 5'9", and he could possibly be one of the best pass blocker I've seen as a running back since, just trying to think, at least the last, three, four years. He's for his size, you just wouldn't expect. You turn on the tape, you think you know what you're going to get, but you don't get that. You get someone who is exceptional at pass blocking, and yeah, I think NFL teams will look favorably on that, and you know, you're taking his career overall. I'm not particularly worried. I saw just before we came on, actually, I saw that PFF had him ranked as the 9th running back in this class, which I think is a little bit silly, but I don't understand it, because he is much better than that. He'd be a top 3 running back for me, but I completely know what you're saying there, MG, that his production, you're looking at the yards, it hasn't been there, but I don't think NFL teams will necessarily look on that badly.
Yeah, I think, as you say, it depends on what you're after, and you have to take him as a whole, as a blocker, as well as an offensive weapon. Yeah, I'd still have him, if we were doing our top fives now, I'd still probably have him sneaking into that top five. But I think when we went into this season, he would have been in the conversation, as you say, for that top three.
Yeah.
And it'd just be interesting to see how he finishes the season off.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and a guy that I've got who, for me, has fallen a little bit, and Owen touched on him earlier on, is Jackson Kirkland. And now I'm maybe being a bit biased on this one and looking at it just on the balance of one game when they played Michigan. Spoiler alert, I'll be talking about Michigan on the defensive side of the ball. But he was, when he was up against some really good caliber pass rush, I thought he struggled quite a bit. You know, he's obviously been quite dominant maybe against more easier teams. But Michigan, you're looking at guys who are probably going to be well drafted. And I thought he just struggled a little bit in that kind of game. And it may well be that it's just a one game off, but I wonder if a lot of teams will have seen that. Okay, he's up against a decent pass rush now. Let's get all eyes on him. And they might have come away just a little bit disappointed. I mean, going into the season, he was battling for me, being one of the top tackles. And he may well still go high, but I've just fallen off a little bit on him after watching that. And I think teams might, again, that's one of the games he's going to have had a lot of eyes on him. And yeah, is that going to affect his stock? Maybe a little bit. I think he's still got plenty of talent there, plenty of time to come good. But it may be somebody who's just knocked down a few pegs in some eyes.
Yeah, that should have been and was all set up to be his signature game facing Aiden Hutchinson, and came away from it second best, or maybe even third best, because you're saying, I don't want to speak about defensive side of the ball, but when I watched that game, it wasn't the reps against Aiden Hutchinson that I was so worried about. It was the Aberdeen wonder that is David Ojobo, who absolutely tore him a new one.
Unbelievable. I will be talking about him on the next podcast.
I'm sure we will be getting around to him. We're not going to speak about him on this offensive, but yeah, Jackson Kirkland, that should have been his game to show, look, I am here. And he did the complete opposite. My last one was also an offensive lineman, and again, someone that I think we were higher on in the summer, and that's Zion Nelson from Miami. Now, Miami have been shocking this season, so there's no wonder he's looked bad. You know, we weren't talking about him as a top tackle prospect, but he was middling. He was someone who, if he had developed at the rate that he could have with his athletic traits, could have been pushing top fives. But he just hasn't shown anything there. You know, he had the potential to make a mark, but he just has gone nowhere, really struggled, not only in the big games, but in the smaller games as well. You know, you kind of expect him to struggle against Alabama, but I don't expect him to struggle against Virginia, say, where Miami lost that one. And say, right now, if I'm anywhere close to Nelson, I'm just telling him to go back to school. And, you know, fantastic size, got the good length, smooth athlete, got really good upside. But you just need to show it. You know, you can only bank on development enough, but if you're not developing year to year, then it's difficult for someone or an NFL team to buy into you as a developmental prospect if you're not showing that development.
And it's so important, isn't it, this position group on the offensive line, because, you know, we've discussed it before on previous pods, you look at all these teams who want to invest in their O-line, and the number of offensive linemen that are going to go early, going to go first round, going to go early in the second round. And these guys coming out have got a really good opportunity, if they kick on, to cement themselves on an O-line. You know, most of the ones that come in have gone straight in, haven't they? They've gone straight into the O-line on the NFL team that they've been drafted onto. You look at, you know, people like Rashawn Slater, who's, you know, if it wasn't for the fact that offensive player, rookie of the year tends to just be a wide receiver or a running, you know, it's a skill position, isn't it? It's not an offensive lineman, but he should be in that conversation. So it's interesting that you've gone with a couple of there that, that they're not doing their draft stock any good at the moment.
Yeah, I think we've seen, well, you look at the last couple of drafts, you're almost better off drafting a couple of linemen and then trying to get a quarterback, where some teams try to do it the other way. And as we said before, this maybe isn't, well, it certainly isn't the best draft for quarterback. So offensive line will be the top of a lot of people's list, I think.
Yeah, are we teasing it a little bit that we think this might be a better defensive draft than offensive draft next year?
Oh, you're a big tease. Yeah. I think we are.
I don't think that's a tease. It is. And much better.
Yeah, so if you're not liking this podcast, wait till the defensive one next week. That'll be loads better.
It's interesting, though, isn't it? Because it's almost like there's been a bit of a correction. Because, you know, the last couple of years, there's a lot of, you know, offensive talent that's come out. And, yeah, I think we're all of the opinion that the defence this year is catching up a little bit. And I think the next one that we do, yeah, we're going to be talking about some really good prospects.
Yeah, it's a really deep defensive class. And I think the excitement's going to happen between rounds 2 and 4 rather than in the first round, because the depth on the defensive side of the ball is that good.
Now, that's a tease. That was better. Well, there we go. Enough teasing. That was our offensive preview done. Join us next week. We'll be looking at some defensive prospects. There should be quite a few by the sounds of it. In the meantime, check out our website, 99 Yards, and of course our Twitter, at 99 Yards, for more scouting reports, news, views, etc. And that's it. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening.